Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a hump day. And you know the deal, if we're playing the camel at the beginning of the show, that means come around the third hour, we jump on into a thing called the Grand Council, where I bring in some of my brethren in conservative media, and we hash out the questions of the day. And so Dale Jackson's out today, but sitting in for him, I'll call the roll on this one, the powerfully pugnacious pundit and publisher of the Trustful Tribune, host of the Tribune Unscripted podcast, Scott Buttram. Are you there?
I am here.
You are indeed. We appreciate your presence. Thank you, sir. And then turning south down by the Gulf of America, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief of 1819 News and does a lot of other media stuff, too. Even has a history with Breitbart and Tucker Carlson. That would be Jeff Poor. Are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, fellas, we're all in. Questions each. I'm going to let Jeff Poor say you got it first, man. What do you got?
I'm probably still in Scott's question here, but we got to talk Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Ah.
it's been brought to my attention. The AHSAA is acting in bad faith here. They're telling these schools that, you have injunctive relief here to go and play these Choose Act student athletes, but if we win this court case, you're gonna have to forfeit those games when it's all said and done.
Those terms.
That feels a little like I said, acting in bad faith. Is there anything that can be done there?
I tell you what, I'm gonna go ahead and say, Scotty, since you joined us, and this is also a topic that's near and dear to your heart, you take it first. What do you got?
Well, I would just final question, is there anything that can be done there? I think we're about to see that when they go into session.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think anybody at this point knows what this product is going to look like after the legislature gets through with them. I think they will be changed beyond recognition. And Jeff, to answer your question, I think this is yet another big old bucket of gasoline thrown on this fire, mm-hmm, by the AHSAA.
Yeah. I'm amazed at the tone deafness of the AHSAA right now. Can they not read the room? Jeff, from what you just said about whether or not they would lay out this, we're going to get punitive against you one way or the other, and if you play a kid who's a Choose Act kid, school choice, for those who don't know, Choose Act is school choice in Alabama. If you have a school choice option to go to another school, the current law specifies you should be allowed to play sports, and it actually says the AHSAA cannot stop that. And so if the AHSAA wants to try and preempt that, and they got slapped down by the court with an injunction, but then, oh, by the way, they say, well, okay, you play them, but if we win, we're going to void all your wins. That's asinine. Yeah. That is absolutely bad faith. I don't think any court's going to let them get away with that. And this case won't be tried before the next legislative session. So they just got themselves a whole lot of whoop coming, and they opened the can themselves.
Quick
question.
Go ahead, Scott.
I got a quick question for Phil,
yep,
because he's got a law degree. Phil, do the parents of these kids, if this is proven that the AHSAA threatened these schools, if they play those kids and we win, you're going to have to forfeit the games you played them, do those kids' parents not have an actionable situation here?
If they actually take the action, yes, I think they would. Because you're going to have to have two things to have any lawsuit. You're going to have a cause of action, and you're going to have damages. So if they just say it now but never do a thing about it later, all it is like, you know, right, nah, nah, nah. But at the same time, if they come back later and actually try to do something like this and void the wins, then you've got booster, mm-hmm, clubs that have invested. You've got stadiums that may have been built. You got sponsors that may have dropped off sponsorship. And you got kids that are vying for scholarships who could see their win records affected. And I think all of that comes into play. There's a lot of things that are second and third order effects to having a winning season that you can have taken away from you. Because we're not talking about one win. We're talking about a season. There's a lot of stuff here. Jeff.
And defer to you on the law degree thing here, too. It looks like they're getting the High School Athletic Association is getting very bad legal advice because they could have, you know, they could have not done anything and just wrote it out, and that's probably what they should have done.
Yeah.
But they were, or they chose to, you know, just ignore the law and go about it themselves. Why wouldn't they be the ones to take the state to court? Why wouldn't they go seek injunctive relief from the federal courts or whoever they think that gives them the power to do this and say, hey, they're interfering with our ability? Why didn't they explore that option at least? Because it just looks like they are operating above the law either way.
I don't know if they even have legal advice. I feel like they're acting like a pro se prison defendant. I mean, this is like this the asinine behavior that we're seeing. What they really need is a life coach. They need somebody to explain to them just how to actually get along with others. And they don't seem to have any idea what that means. What are you thinking there, Scott? I hear you saw it say something.
I know the Grand Council's just going completely off the rails right now. What we may have here, gentlemen, and this is evidently not old news, but not new news, but it was new to me. I think Ben Thomas at AL.com, the prep sports guy there, reported on this a couple of months ago or so. What we may have here, gentlemen, is a really bad problem with inexperienced leadership. Jeff, you've referenced and talked about Josh Moon referencing, you know, the federal court years ago that told AHSAA you can't have a white athletic association and a black when y'all got to combine. Well, part of the other part of that agreement was that they would have both a white and a minority at the top, number one and two, that they were supposed to have that. So that has carried on all the way through Steve Savarese, who was the executive director for, I don't know, how many years, probably decades. Well, when he stepped down, Alvin Biggs was the number two guy, and Alvin Biggs was black, so he moved up and became executive director. That moved Kim Vickers up, who now became the number two person, and she was white. When Briggs stepped down, following the historical secession here, Kim Vickers should have moved to executive director. Instead, this board, filled with superintendents, some of whom have been very vocal against school choice, by the way, decided to just go hire another director. They hired Heath Harmon from Oxford, who was, I think, a high school principal there. That's the executive director making all of these decisions. Ken Vickers had to train him for his job because he didn't know how to do the job. Now, this is according to the federal lawsuit Ken Vickers filed a few months ago, by the way. She says she had to train him for his job. He turns around and hires an Oxford administrator who had worked under him, who was black, made him number two. So now they've met the requirement. They skip over Kim. They have got a number one and a number two with both probably a year's experience, maybe.
Wow.
That's who's running the show.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Oh, by the way, if you've got a central board that wants to manipulate their director and assistant director, get you a couple of very inexperienced ones. It makes it a lot easier to manipulate them.
Well, and they've always been like the sports mafia. They're the sports mafia in Alabama, and they've always thrown their weight around like nobody could say a thing about it. And this felt to me like an entitlement moment where they felt like the old days were still here and they're not. And this has turned into a complete filibuster on one question, but it's been a good one. Let me ask one quick question before we go. Since we're talking about evil influences in the education arena, I got about 2 minutes before we go to the break. So the AEA, the teachers union in Alabama, the AEA got involved in the mayor's race in Mobile. A $100,000 donation for Barbara Drummond, which, by the way, failed, although it was a daggum close race, but it failed. And Spiro, how do you pronounce his name? Chariagotis?
Chariagotis.
Yeah, Chariagotis got elected by roughly about 1.5%, I think. Anyway, the AEA getting involved in a mayor's race. Now, granted, Barbara Drummond is one of their people, but quick thoughts on the AEA slinging money at mayors. Jeff, you first.
Well, and it matters because, you know, what if they wanted to put a charter school in or something
That's
like
right.
that? And there's a zoning problem all of a sudden, right? Or there's something like that. So it does matter. I think it was a, you know, if you're the AA and you're looking at this and you're thinking, you know, we don't usually get in mayor's races, but it's a win-win for them because if they win, they get the W, and if they lose with Drummond, well, she's still in the Alabama legislature. She still sits on ed policy,
yeah,
and they keep her in their good graces.
Real quick, what you got there? About a minute, Scotty.
Everything Jeff said, though, I will say Drummond was a blind yes vote for AA anyway. So
yeah, I mean, it really was. It was gross.
AA hates their money. Let's just say that. They hate their money.
Well, they hate their members, but they love their members' money. About that. But they, one quick thing that I did see earlier, we were talking about it on the show, is the mayor and city council in Mobile appoints members to the library boards in that area. And you know how the teachers union feels mm-hmm. about library board issues of late. So there's that, too. All right, we got to take a break. We're on round one being complete of the Grand Council. We'll come back with round two with Jeff Poore, Scott Buttram, and little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, coming back to round two of the Grand Council. And since I think I look back on it, I think, Scott, you opined at length about things that were asked, but I don't think you've actually asked a question of your own, so I'm just going to go straight to you. What you got? What's your question for the council?
I'll make this a short question. It is two-part. What office – I was going to make it too easy. What office will Bruce Pearl eventually run for? That's part one. Part two – does Auburn lose their blue blood basketball card after Pearl steps down?
Oh, God. All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to let Jeff go first. What you got, Jeff?
So
I think you all be to answer.
Okay. I'm going to answer. Don't worry. Go ahead.
I think there were some eligibility questions. And I know he looked seriously at running for Senate. I know he made trips to D.C. I know he met with the NRSC to run for United States Senate. But it wasn't there yet. What I do think you'll see is in 2 or 4 years, I think you'll see Mike Rogers step down.
Yep.
I think he'll run for that congressional seat. I think he'll win it easily.
Okay.
I could see that happening. As far as Auburn's basketball program,
it is, yeah.
As far as Auburn's basketball program goes, I mean, Stephen Pearl is probably who we would have picked anyway, who else is out there, and who's going to take a job at Auburn University doing basketball?
They were a Final Four team. I think we could find somebody, but at the same time, go back to the politics.
The blue blood.
Culture.
I see what you're saying.
Football is still going to always be key.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. We're not Duke. I mean, this is yes.
Right.
So back to the political. That's exactly what I predict. So I'm gonna go ahead and layer it a little bit more. I'm gonna say that the results of his efforts in D.C. Are gonna garner him some particular Trump appointment. I don't know what, an ambassadorship perhaps. I could see him being a special emissary to Israel. I could see there being something where he could say, mm-hmm. "I was Trump appointed to," and that looks really good. And it gives him a chance to sort of earn his GOP chops, and then. And then I agree with Jeff. That's exactly what I'm hearing, and what I'm speculating is that Mike Rogers is probably nearing the end of his time in Congress, and that is the district that Bruce Pearl lives in. And I think if he ran, he would take it by a landslide. Especially, like I said, if he can earn his GOP chops on it. As for basketball, my brother, War Eagle, and I do think Stephen Pearl, blue blood, what a thing to say. I do think, though, that Stephen Pearl was the only choice, and he was already there as a part of the staff that took him to the Final Four, and I think that he has a chance now to, and I'm sure that was part of Bruce Pearl's exit. What's he now called, like an ambassador for the sports program?
Right, yeah.
I think that was part of the negotiation and give his son the chance. But I think his son has also earned the chance. So I'm not overly concerned about it. Blue blood. You're just jealous. Your own thoughts. Okay, what are you thinking there, Scotty B? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I honestly did not know politically. I will say this, and I don't think it's any secret. I am absolutely 100% aligned with Bruce Pearl on his stance on Israel. We are simpatico there. I think he would make a good congressman. I would like to see him in D.C. I think he could be effective, and I think he'd do a good job. Have no idea where, but I think that's the ultimate goal. That's what it feels like. Does Auburn have to give up their blue blood card when Pearl leaves? I'm just an Alabama fan. We're not part of the basketball blue blood. We're just a bunch of hard hat guys. So I don't know. I'm just a street brawler from Tuscaloosa.
I love it. I love the self-deprecating, I'm just a Bama fan, we just play football thing. Come on. You know, if you guys were spanking it in basketball, you'd be crowing about that too.
That's how all our Bama fans are. We have a basketball team in Tuscaloosa. I didn't know that. Roll Tide.
Hey, you know who does know it? Bruce Pearl.
That's a good point. The iron, what they call it, the IBOB, the Iron Bowl of basketball. All right, hey, real quick, though, we got about 2 minutes. Speaking of the RTR crowd, A.J. McCarron running for office, coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck? And is this an entitlement mentality, or is it legit? And what's he going to run for? Jeff, you have the inside scoop because 1819 ran the article. I think you even wrote it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. But tell me. What do you know?
Lieutenant Governor. He polls real well. He doesn't want to go to D.C. I think he flirted with Senate. I think he also flirted with Congress for that Jerry Carl seat. Well, it's Barry Moore, but it used to be Jerry Carl.
Yeah.
And run against him. I think it's going to be Lieutenant Governor. He polls real well. You would think he's probably going to have Senator Britt on his side there. And this won't be a race. I mean, if the polling I've seen is accurate.
What have you seen? I've
seen some polling. And he just pulls out the charts. It's like Tommy Tuberville all over again, which would be weird to have Tuberville as governor and A.J. McCarron as lieutenant governor.
Wow. Okay, so all of a sudden, the folks that have been running for a while for Lieutenant
They're
Governor.
Trouble. Well, there's one trouble. Wrinkle here, though. One wrinkle.
Speak
and
fast, okay.
Does he meet the residency requirements in the Alabama Constitution? Probably does, but that's going to be one of the hurdles he's going to have to figure out.
So his house is at the Florabama. You don't know which side. That's where we are right now. Okay.
Well, I mean, he bounced around NFL, UFL for a while. So, where was he registered to vote? I mean, these are questions. Did he have a homestead exemption for his property in Mobile? Those are the questions that are going to have to be figured out if he does run.
And that's the music's playing. That means the preacher's got to quit preaching. So we are taking a break. Appreciate you both. Thanks so much. That was Jeff Poor from 1819 News and the Jeff Poor Show down at FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, and Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, host of the Tribune Unsolicited podcast, and me. We'll be right back.